This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here today, and it's good to be in God's presence and just to be able to worship together and be together. Hey, if you have your church app ready on your phone or device, whatever, you can open that up. We have the outline today. There's some scriptures highlighted there you can take a look at. We always like to give you those. If you haven't gotten our church app, just go to the app store, go to church app, look for Bridges Church. We can help you do that at the end of the service. And as we get ready to get started, just want to kind of just take a moment, kind of transition. And we had a change in weather today, and it was really nice and refreshing. And if you're online, I want you to do this. If you're in the room, I want you to do this. I want you to give the one word that would describe today's weather to you. So on the line, I want you to type it. If you're in the room, turn to the person near you and just kind of share with them. It may be cold. It may be beautiful. It may be wonderful. I'm going to go with the word brisk. All right, so that's my word. So go ahead and turn to the person, tell me your word for the day. Online, type that in, let us know what is the word that describes today's weather. So turn around, say hello to people, give them the word. Anybody, is this like too cold for anybody? Not in the room, but the weather. All right, some people it's too cold. Yeah, some people it's too hot. We can never get it just right. But I love this weather. It's so cool. Today, we're in week two of our series we're calling Rooted. We started last week. We've been doing this in our small groups. We have a devotional that goes with that. They're in the lobby if you haven't gotten one. Really good study. I've been just so encouraged to hear people talk about what they're learning, what they're getting from God through it. And I want to start today with a question. It's a simple question to say, but it's an interesting question to answer. So here's the question. Who is God? Who is God? I mean, if you think about it, how would you answer that? If we were to sit down and just go through this and I said, who is God? What would you say to me? Would you say something like, well, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my Creator, he's my Redeemer, he's my best friend? What would you say? And then what if it was a child that asked you? A child came up and said to you, who is God? How would you answer them? Would you put it in their language? What words would you use? Would you kind of make it simple for them? What if it was a non-believer? What if it's somebody didn't believe in God and they came to you and said, well, you believe in God, well, tell me who it is. What would you say to them? And how would you express it to them? Because that may be possible that you would get that opportunity. What if we told you, rather than me speaking today, I'm just going to give you a piece of paper. And I take about 25, 30 minutes, okay? So we're going to take about 25 minutes, 20 minutes. And I just want you to write down everything and answer that question, who is God? What would you write? Would it be too long for you, like that's too much time, or would it be too short for you? Would you dive into the Trinity, and would you explain who the Father is, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they interact, and how they interact with people? Would you talk about God's unchanging nature, his immutability, that he doesn't change, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Would you talk about his omniscience, that he knows everything? Would you talk about him being all-powerful? Would you talk about what he's done in your life to show you that he's all-powerful? Would you talk about the fact that there's nowhere in the world you can go and escape God? Would you talk about the silence of God? What would you tell someone in written form about what you believe about God and who he is? And that's something we want to kind of dive in today. And obviously, I can't take 25 minutes or so to explain God. He's just too big. But the study of God is a lifetime kind of thing that we want to be about. I brought one of my books from seminary. It's like I've opened it twice since seminary. This is one of my largest books in my library size-wise. It's 1,312 pages. I had to read it in a semester. I think I read it all. I'm not really remembering now if I read every bit of it. But it just starts out, who is God? And it's kind of dry. It's a theological book. And I learned a lot about God, which is good. But there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God, isn't there? It's the same with knowing something about a famous person and knowing that famous person. Do we know God? In the Bible, God expresses his desire for us in Jeremiah 29, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And this is what he says about this subject of who is God. So this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast about their wisdom. Okay, it's good to be smart, but don't boast about that. Or the powerful boast in their power. Or the rich boast in their riches. Next verse, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone. So here's the thing that God says be excited about, that they truly know me and they understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. What does God want us to be able to do? To explain to people, to know ourselves, that we know him. Not just know about him, but we know him and that we understand him. That's a bigger thing, isn't it? To really understand God. And then in that short verse, he gives us some ideas to know about him. One is that he demonstrates loving kindness, and that's who God is. His unfailing love to us. And he brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and he delights in those things. This is a small picture of who God is. And it uses the word Lord to describe him, the one in charge, the one in control, the sovereign God. These are big thoughts, aren't they? But he says, look, if you want to get this, if you want to know the answer, who is God, it starts with just knowing him and understanding him. So the question is, how do we know this God who is so infinite and so huge and so great and so powerful, who tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways? How do we get to know this God? How can we know God? That's the big question we want to talk about. And the one word answer to really about that is the word revelation. That because God is holy and because he's perfect and because he's immense and infinite, that we don't see God on our own. We don't encounter on our own. He must reveal himself. And the word revelation is a really simple word. It means this. It's an act of communicating truth by God to humans. And this is when God steps out and says, let me show you who I am. Let me demonstrate that to you. Let me kind of break the veil. Let me undo the curtain so you can see who I am. And that's really why we're here as human beings on this earth. Did you know that? That's what God wants for us, to know him and really understand him. Today, rather than tell you everything I know about God, I want to talk about how you can know this God. And how he's created ways for us to know him. And that should be the thing that drives us in everything we do. And so today there's really three ways we're going to talk about how you know God, starting from the very simplest to the more complex and the more personal. And they're on your outline today, so we kind of follow along if you want. But the first way that God reveals himself is through natural revelation. It's exactly what it sounds like, through nature, through creation. That God created everything in this universe, it's like one big sign that says, I'm here. I'm here. Now, if you've been on this earth for any length of time, some of us longer than others, you kind of get used to it, right? You look around and go, oh, yeah, there's creation. But do you ever really stop and go, that's the sign that God exists? The fact that anything is here at all in the universe when there should be nothing and there's something, it's because of God. Romans 1:20, Paul is writing to a group of people and he's telling them, well, if you don't believe, why not? And he wrote this to them. He says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. So you can't see God, but you can see him through the things he's made, his eternal power and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. He said, there's a sign there. We should all stop and look and go, okay, there's something here. Why? Why is it here? Why do we exist? The scriptures tell us really simply that the heavens declare the glory of God. You look up at the stars and the moon and the sun and everything. You go, okay, there's God's glory. It's so huge and so vast and so immense. And then you look at a baby and we're reminded the scriptures tell us that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us here. Everything large and small and big is all from God. Do you ever think about this earth? I think it's interesting the earth is here, first of all, but then you look at the earth and go, everything is here for us, right? We have an atmosphere that we can breathe. We have the water cycle that you studied probably in elementary school, that it rains and the rains come down and then they go into the rivers and lakes and down to the ocean evaporation. It starts over again and the water is stored in the glaciers and the ice caps at either end of our globe. And all that's here so we can survive. And not only that, but there's metals in the earth so we can make the things that you're looking at in your phone. That's what makes it work. And some of them are very, very precious metals. There are a couple of them that are extremely precious inside your phones. And they just happen to be on the earth. In the Amazon, there's over 80,000 species of plants. 25% of the medications that people take are found in plants from the Amazon. And they just happen to be on this earth, and they just happen to respond to sicknesses that we as human beings have. What if those things didn't exist? And why are they here? Except God made them that way. And you look at the food that we have to eat, whether it's plant or animal, and go, man, God has really done some amazing things. And then you simply look at a child and go, a child, we all started off this way, as a single cell organism that had every bit of information needed to make you. So turn to the person near you and say, you're a miracle. Could you do that? Just turn to them and say, you're a miracle that you're even here. That within that cell, there was all the different cells you're going to have, the nervous system, the digestive system, the reproductive system. All those different systems come from one cell in one direction, and it's all there by God. And we look and go, that's amazing. It's only been about 100 years now that we've actually been able to explore the invisible world. 1895, a man named Wilhelm Röntgen was messing around in his lab, and he discovered these invisible rays. He didn't know what to call them, so he called them X-rays. And for the first time in human history, we could look inside the body and see how people are. And that led to things like the electron microscope and now the Hubble telescope, and all these things allow us to see creation. And the more that we see, the more complex it is, and the more we look at it and go, wow. Now, here's the thing about nature. When you look at nature, you can't tell a lot about God. You can only see certain things, right? It doesn't tell you what kind of God he is. I was reading a book the other day by a man I would call either atheist or agnostic. And he stopped in the middle of his book talking about his life and said, I don't believe in God. I believe there's some sort of force that created everything, and that force was organized, and that force was creative, and that force was powerful, but I don't believe it was God. And it was like, well, that's kind of a description of God, right? I mean, how can a force be all those things? It came from somewhere, but you can look at creation and go, somebody's behind this, because why is it here, and why does it work under certain laws, and why can you just know when certain things are going to happen by looking at the sun and by knowing that fall is just in a couple of days away, right? Because the sun's going to cross one of the lines on earth at that exact time. It's amazing. And God did all those things. But nature enough is not enough for us to know God. That leads us to the second kind of revelation. It's the one that we really settle on here at Bridges, and that's biblical revelation. That's what this book is about, right? In this book, God said, I want you to know who I am. I want you to know what kind of God created the universe. I want you to know how he did it, and I want you to know why he did it, and I want you to know that you can count on me, and I want you to find out all my characteristics, but it's here. You can't just look at creation and get everything about God. You have to look in his word, because this is where he reveals himself most powerfully in a lot of people's lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, talking about the word of God, says this: all scripture is breathed out by God. Some of your versions say inspired. It comes from God. It's the same idea that when Adam was formed and God breathed in him to give him life, it's the same with the word. When you read the Bible, it's not like reading any other book. It's got God's breath in it, his life in it, so he can speak to us. It says, God breathed or breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I like the word teaching. Some of your versions will say the word doctrine. What is doctrine? It's just a set of teachings about a particular subject. In this case, about God. He says, I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. So I've given you this book, 66 different authors written over 1,500 years over several different continents. And I want you to understand that all of them are painting a picture for you for one purpose. So you'll know me. Not just know about me, so you'll know me. So when you sit down with my word, it's my way of speaking to you. We should approach this book with awe, that we're not just reading for reading's sake. We are listening to the very words of God, and he speaks to us. And he says, here I am. I want you to know me. That's what this word is. I'm reading a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you've read this book. It's a really powerful book. He's a great theologian. And in this book, he talks about giving a talk one time about God. And at the end of it, he had a military officer come up to him. He says, I don't buy all your theology. I don't really get all that. He says, I am a religious man. And I know of God because I was out in the desert at night, and I felt the presence of God, the mystery of God, the bigness of God, and that's all I need. And C.S. Lewis said his heart went out to him. He understood what he was saying, but he says it's kind of cutting himself short. It's like walking up and looking inside of a theater, inside of a building. You open the door and you take a look in and go, that looks really nice, but you don't go inside. You don't experience it for yourself. He says it's kind of like going to the beach, right? You go to the beach and some people are afraid of the water and they just sit and they go, this is an amazing ocean. But other people are willing to dive in and go, I want to experience all of it. And then he says, kind of like we need to understand the ocean by looking at maps. And what is a map? Well, a map is simply this. It's the experience that people have had on the ocean. They've gone around, they've looked at it, they've drawn it out. It's not the ocean itself, but it's a map to show you how to get from one place to the other. And he says the Bible is very similar to that. The Bible's the story of people who experienced God, who got to know God, and they wrote their stories down so we could learn from them. But it's also a map for us to find God and to experience him for ourselves and to know him and to love him. And that's why we have God's word. In the New Testament, Paul would go around, it talks about, he would go around and tell people about God. Some of them had never heard about God before, and he would try to explain God to them. Some of them received it. Other ones wouldn't receive it very well. But there was one little town he wrote about, a little town called Berea, and he kind of held them up as example. In Acts 17:11, it's written about him there, and it says this, now these Jews, meaning the people in that particular town in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So what they would do is they would pick up what they knew as the Old Testament, the scriptures, and they would listen to him talk about God, and they would look through them and go, is that true? Is there more to discover? Let's sit down and really look at this, because this is important to us. And he says, basically, use him as an example. Every day, dive in and look for God and listen for him. As part of the rooted experience that we're doing, you're getting a devotional. We have some more left. We got another box in, actually, because we were selling all out. And basically, Rooted is a five-day-a-week experience. It's just short readings where you read. There's scripture there. There's some explanations there. There's a place to write down things. One of my favorite things, you can just circle stuff. When God says, look at this, you circle it, you mark it. And then your small group, you're talking about it. And the whole gist of this is, again, not to learn about God, but to meet God at that moment and say, God, I am here at this moment to hear from you. And that leads to the third type of revelation, the most personal one of all. It's called experiential revelation. It just means personal revelation. So instead of just looking at nature, trying to figure out who God is, or just reading the Bible, which is important, it's talking about what you get out of this when you're actually there. Experiential revelation is that personal experience. It starts with history from the time the Bible is written all the way to the day. You can look at great revivals happening when God manifested himself in people's lives and people right and left were giving their lives to Jesus when they were praying and seeing him at work. You can look at the great awakenings like we had in the United States, two great awakenings where people right and left were just experiencing God. You can see it in the lives of theologians or writers who heard from God as they were reading, and they put their writings and their thoughts down for us to learn from them. But you can also experience God on your own, right? Have you ever done this before? Probably the first time you ever really knew God. You may have been convicted of a sin, and you felt God speaking to you about that. It may have been a quiet night where all of a sudden the peace of God settled over you. Maybe you were wrestling with something and God was there. Maybe you heard his voice, not out loud, but just in your heart. And he says, I want you to come to me. I want you to know me. Maybe you prayed over something and you saw God's answer. One of my favorite things is the coincidence of life, right? Where you just run into the right person at the right time and they're there and you go, wow, that was God. You ever read a devotional before or read God's word before and you go, that's exactly what I had to hear today? And you're going, how does God do that? Because that book was printed years ago, and how do you know what was going to happen this day? And it's like God is waving at us, and I'm here, I'm at work, you're experiencing me. In Greek, there's two words for life. One is bios, that means biology, the study of life. It's their physical life. The other one is zoe, Zoe is your spiritual life. It's the inner life. It's that part that connects you with God. And both of those are real, and both of those are important, and both of those are part of who you are. So while you may not see God with your bios, you experience him with your Zoe, and you go, yes, he is there. And the presence of God in our life is everything. Now, let me explain it this way. You have to be careful with experiences that they run up against the Bible, that they fit with what the Bible says. There's been people that look at experiences and create their own thing out of it. That's not what this is about. It's about looking at the scriptures and going, how does God interact with people? And then evaluating our experiences based on that experiential revelation. When you look at the Bible, don't you see people experiencing God all through it? Start with Adam and Eve, right? What do they do every day? Before they had to leave the garden, they spent time with God, walking through the garden. Their bios life, their physical life, intersected with their Zoe life, and they connected with God. What an amazing time that would have been. I don't know what it would have been like, but it would have been a fun time. And we don't know how long that lasted before sin came in the world, but they experienced that. What about Abram, the father of faith? He was doing his own thing, minding his own business. God came to him one day and said, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And Abram got up and he left. And he experienced God this way in his life, including the day where God said, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. And he went out to sacrifice his son. And he was ready to do it knowing that if he did sacrifice his son, God would still bring his son back to life. But at the last minute, God stopped him. Do you remember that story? And then God provided a ram, and Abram said, I know you now as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You gave a ram for my sacrifice. And then in that experience, he knew and understood God better. What about Jacob from the Bible? One of my favorite ones. Jacob experienced God one night and wrestled with him all night long, and God won, and he dislocated Jacob's hip for the rest of his life. Jacob goes, oh, yeah. I spent one night with God. You ever wrestle with God before? You ever want something so badly and you're not getting it? You just wrestle with him in prayer and you wrestle with him within your mind and it left you kind of with a limp, not a physical one, but maybe a time that you experienced some suffering or some pain and you look back that the worst time in your life is also your best time because you got to know God. That's exactly how Jacob saw life. What about Moses? Moses was doing his own thing. He was a shepherd. He was on top of the mountain. And there was a burning bush. And he went over and saw the bush was not burning. And he heard the voice of God. He says, who are you? Who are you, God? And God says, my name is Yahweh. I am that I am. I was existing yesterday. I exist today. I'll exist tomorrow. And he got to know God by experience that way. How about Isaiah? Remember Isaiah's story? He had a vision of God. And he saw God, and he realized the holiness of God, and he fell down, and he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. You ever had that experience with God where you realize his holiness and your complete brokenness? Has he ever reminded of something you did, and you knew it was wrong, and you knew it crossed a line, and it caused you shame or guilt in your life, and you knew that just because of God's presence in your life? That's exactly what Isaiah felt. What about Peter? When he witnessed a miracle and he saw Jesus for who he really was, he says, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. I hope and pray that you've had some sort of experience where you at least heard God once in your life. But it didn't have to be big. Some people it's really, really big and dramatic. Some people it's very, very quiet. It's a still, small voice. But that experiential revelation is when God actually jumps out at us through his word or through worship or through prayer. Or just a real quiet time, big time in our life when we just needed God and he was there. God's job is to reveal himself to us. But what's our job in this? What role do we play in this whole thing? There's a couple of things. One, in the Old Testament, God told us this. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you really look for God, you're going to find him when you really desire that. Now, most of us in our life have probably had times we had to search for something. I go online. You ever bought a car before and just walked in and bought it? Some people do that. I don't. I research before I go. You probably do too. I look at different lots. I go online. I check out different cars. I do all that research. Some people do this with groceries. They go from one grocery store to the next because they know different brands or different prices at different places. They seek for it. Some people seek out the best vacation spot. You ever sought out like the best recipe for like food? I do that. Oh, we do all these kinds of things. God says, I want you to seek for me like that. I want you to really look for me like that. Because when you seek me, you will find me. When you do your daily devotions, here's what we should do. You stop and you go, God, I'm here to meet with you. Not just to get it off my checklist, not just to look and say, I've done this, not just to read to read, I'm here to meet with you. When you come here on Sunday mornings, when you're online, stop before you come in the room, stop before you turn on the computer and go, God, I'm not just doing this to do this. I want to hear from you. And I want to be changed. And I want to be transformed. But most of all, I want to know you. Whenever you come into a small group, I hope that you stop and pray before you come in there and go, God, I'm here to hear about you and to share with the people and to hear from the people what you're doing in their lives. I want to know you better because of the experience. That's what it means to seek God with all of our heart. New Testament, very similar. James chapter 4, verse 8, the half-brother of Jesus wrote this. Man, it must have been an amazing thing to grow up in the household with Jesus. And he wrote this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You take the step first, and he'll meet you. Then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why? Well, your hands represent your actions. Your heart represents your inner life. He said, both of those, if they're not right, you can't experience God. Because sin separates us from God. Can you imagine this from God's standpoint? Why are we here? Well, to bring him glory, but to build a relationship with him. He created us for that very reason. And what do we do as human beings? We say, no, thank you, God. I'd rather do my own thing. And his whole heart is poured into us and having a relationship with us. And sometimes we say, God, I'm going to do my own thing. I want to chart my own path. I'm really good without you. It's the Adam and Eve thing, right? The one thing they're not supposed to do, they go and do it. We do the same thing because that's what's in our hearts. And we build this barrier between us and God. And God says, I want to be in your life and I want to know you. But yet God made a path. And he had a plan from the very beginning of how this would work. Because he knew that we were going to sin. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to bite the fruit. He knew we would turn away. And his plan all from the very beginning was for us to know him through Jesus. In Rooted, we have memory verses. I don't know if you've seen that in the book. If you don't, we'll share them with you each week. The first one is Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. I just want to share that with you. It says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Even though we sin in Jesus, there's no condemnation because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. He came, Jesus came, so we could have a relationship with the Father. He came so that we could know the Father. You and I have charted the wrong paths in our life, if we're honest. If we really look inside of ourselves, we realize we've gone the wrong way, and Jesus came to set it right. He became a human being, the Son did, and he experienced bios life, and he had zoe life at the same time. And he came to see human beings and what it's like to live as a human being. We know he was tempted in every way but did not sin. He was the perfect Son of God, and he took our sins upon him on the cross, so that we could know his Father, and so we could be cleansed, so we could start over, so we could have a relationship with him. And if you have that relationship with him, here's the deal. Don't take that lightly. Don't just kind of brush over that and say, okay. Don't take his creation for granted. Look for him in all of that. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have him in your life, he says, I want to be a part of your life. I want you to be able to have a relationship with my Father. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to experience what it means to not have guilt or shame. I want you to find freedom. I want you to know all that because that's why you were created. A lot of people know John 3:16. Not everybody knows John 17:3. One of my favorite verses. It's a really simple explanation of what we're all about. Jesus is speaking. He says this. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent. That's what eternal life's all about. You and I were created to live eternally. You have a physical body. I have a physical body that will die one day. But we have a soul that will live forever. And the way it lives forever with the Father, so we can know him forever, is through knowing God. So the question today, I guess I want to leave you with, is do you know a lot about God or do you know God? Huge difference. You can know a lot about God and not know God. And so you ask yourself the question, who is God? Do you answer it by telling us what someone else has said? Or do you answer by saying, this is the God I know through Jesus Christ. I have a personal relationship with him, that I walk with him on this earth. I'm going to walk with him for all eternity. That's what I was created for. Today I want to pray for us wherever you are on this journey. We're just here to help each other on this journey to know God, to experience him, to continue to explore who he is. We're part of this group we call the church, the universal church. Our whole purpose is to know and to love God. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you didn't just create the universe and leave us hanging. Your desire is for a personal relationship with every human being you created, because you know everything about us. You know everything that we've ever done. You know everything that we think. You know everything down to the number of hairs on our head. We are that precious to you, and it blows our mind that you can do all this at the same time. You are so much greater and bigger and holier than we. We thank you for Jesus, who is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, who has come that we may know you. And I pray for each person online, each person in the room, that they know you personally. Not based on someone else's faith, a husband, a wife, a grandparent, but they know you because they have Jesus in their life. And I pray for anyone today that doesn't know this Jesus, I pray that maybe today is that day they're hearing his voice. And he says, I'm standing at your door of your heart and I'm knocking and I want to come in. And I pray today's the day they say, come into my life, Jesus. I want to know you. So, Father, help us this week to take time every single day to enjoy your creation, to see your handiwork, to speak with you through prayer, to listen to you with our hearts, to be transformed and become more like Jesus. And may we walk with him all the days of our life. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Here in the room, online, we want to just say thank you for being here. If you ever need to have someone pray for you, if you ever have questions, just let us know online. It's info@bridgeschurch.net. At the end of this series, we're going to have a baptism celebration. If you have not taken that step of faith to say to the world, I have Jesus in my life, I want the world to know that, just contact us. We're going to do a celebration service November the 22nd, and we'd love to have you part of that. So for online people, you guys have a great week. We're going to leave you now and just enjoy your life and let us know what God's doing in your life.